Wait, we have to start this a different way because it's a different show. And I think it should be like, hey, everybody, are you ready for some good times?
Okay, that's good.
We also have a theme song now.
Yeah, we're going to play the theme song before this really charming banter.
We could do it now in the midst to make it seem organic.
Yeah, play it for Katie.
I want to hear it. I haven't... That's delightful. Who made that?
Headless Dentist.
I didn't know they were still a band.
They are still a band, and they are still making our music.
What is that, Smash Mouth?
Shouts to Headless Dentist for another great theme song for another of our OK podcast.
I thought when Jeremy left, it surely shut them down.
Surely you can't find a replacement mediocre bassist in Brooklyn, New York.
That seems
the
cruel.
One to replace. Maybe you should just be moderating this one.
Oh yeah. What's the time? Good times.
Okay.
What's in your wallet?
Good times.
Good times. Hey everyone, welcome back to Ball Now Good Times. I'm here as your host, Alex Patak, joined by my lovable friends and familiars, Jeremy Hammond.
Hi.
And Katie Rose Leon.
Hi.
And every week we're here, we're talking Dragon Ball GT, having a good time, as we call it. But you know, when we don't have a guest, we gotta talk about our lives in the big city in New York. Jeremy, what's going on in your life this week? How are things?
Things are okay. I've been diving into the wedding planning process, which I don't know. Have you started doing that yet?
I don't want to use the word proud to say that I have done no work in the wedding planning process. I did a proposal, and then my fiance's mother broke out spreadsheets she had prepared.
Oh, no.
And then a series of phone calls were conducted on a daily basis between her and my fiance. And occasionally I'll rubber stamp something. I'll be like, yes, we should have a bachelor party. And then that's it.
But so, like, stuff is happening, though.
Oh, it's all being planned. It's just, I'm so much garbage.
Yeah.
Thrilled to not have to make any of these decisions.
Mo and I took a trip upstate a little bit to go look at a couple of venues, right? And we're, like, now...
Are you going to do, like, a punk wedding?
Considering it.
Yeah.
One of the places we looked at was an old church that this gay dude bought and turned into his farm to table restaurant.
Yeah. You're both going to dress up as an old boot. You're going to have to like go to the back of an alley and ask for a password. It's going to rule.
But what I was going to tell you guys about was this this couple that we met who run like their own, like when you start like looking into wedding stuff, you start to really come into like the wedding industrial complex where
the
like,
whole industry,
it's insane. Everything is crazy and there's no like logic behind what stuff costs.
Oh yeah. I my first job moving back to New York is I worked as a wedding planner, which is insane.
Are
for
you
me.
Serious?
Yeah, yeah. Katie Rose Leon was a fucking digital wedding planner. I worked for a company that's a ripoff and a scam.
Just for computers to get married?
Yes. I squished Macintoshes together.
Gross.
Yeah, it was like an app you downloaded and they made it seem like there was like a Squarespace level of wedding staff to help you plan your wedding, and it was literally me, and I had...
You're on the little, you know, the little chat pops up in the bottom corner of the site, and it's like, I'm Meredith, I'm your HR professional. It's just like you every time with different names.
Yeah, literally, they had this fake blonde lady picture, and her name was Emily.
And you're just sending them shrug emojis for everything.
No, I'm actually, the funny thing is like how I tricked him into giving me this job is even though I looked even weirder then, because like when I moved to New York, I had purple hair and a shaved head mostly. Mm. But like I am from Long Island, and I know exactly what to say to these women. I'm like, listen, Stacy, it's your day. If your mother-in-law is going to keep putting her fit into your business, sure, you want to make a good impression, but if you want silver and gold, I'm saying go silver and gold, girl. Anyway,
queen.
They turned out to be full of shit and just like stopped paying me. So I had to like write them a letter like, I'm going to quit because you don't give me money. And they're like, okie dokie.
I can't believe this upstanding firm turned out to have issues in their payment.
So anyway, you two are playing your weddings. And then I got a man to give me the password to his Funimation account. So we're all doing great.
Let's flesh out that story. Let's find that text. Katie, our audience wants to discover you as a creature. So where were you? Where was this man from? Where'd you get him?
I found him on the internet. I've been trying
the
to
internet.
I've been trying to date again. God help us all.
You put you put two Macintoshes together.
I squished two Macintoshes and I put my phone in there too because I am non-monogamous.
The phone likes to watch.
I had a kind of a hard weekend. I didn't really want to go outside, so this person offered me their Funimation password, I think, to like be nice, and I took it.
Yeah. What did you watch?
Well, okay, here's the thing. They got it all on there, and I also used it to watch GT this week. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Didn't have to go on some free website.
Very resourceful.
www9.dragonball.gov is so offended.
Yeah, I didn't watch it on some free streaming site like you peasants, okay? First of all, it's the summer of scam, and I'm getting in on it. There are so many hot lady grifters coming into New York right now making the news, and I want in on that action, mostly in ways of free passwords and drinks.
Did you read that crazy article?
Because there was the fake German Harris lady,
yes.
And then there was some hot lady stealing from her boss at Vogue.
I haven't heard of either of these.
I got to check that one out. The German Harris lady is like the coolest story I've heard in the longest time. It's so sick.
Yeah, if you hate rich people, you'll love this story. Because the moral of the story is, if you are so rich, people are so insanely wealthy that you can be like, can you buy me a plane ticket to Spain and I'll get you back later? And they're like, sure. And
yes.
Then they'll forget about it.
They'll forget about it. And then, okay, so we're going to put the link in the description of the podcast. But so what it is this, it's this German, she's not even German, she's Polish.
So the lies begin.
Polish woman shows up in New York City one day and convinces like one of the most expensive hotels in town to give her a room on a line of credit she just like doesn't have. And they're like, okay, sure. Like she tells them she's like an heiress to an old antique family in Germany.
Well,
I didn't realize you could like explain your way out of giving someone a credit card.
How she did it though is it looked like she has the funds because she kept going to all these different like banks and basically getting like multi-million dollar loans.
Yeah. And using the multi-million dollar loan from the last bank to justify this one. Because it's like she gets the first loan of like a couple thousand bucks, and then she goes to the next one, and she's like, can you extend me a line of credit? I'm good for it. See, I have a couple thousand bucks. And
so
then
like,
she's
catch
got
me
10,000.
If you can.
Yes.
But if she was caught immediately and it wasn't a grift.
She wasn't caught immediately. She does it for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was on that long grift.
And it rules.
She's
it's
a hero.
So cool. Now she's in Rikers.
Yeah, it's her. Yeah, she doesn't even see that face. Her, that lady who stole from Vogue, and then there was a third lady. She wasn't in New York, so it's not as cool, but she stole a yacht in Italy.
Woo!
And was trying to go into international waters. I'm just saying, hot lady grifters are in for summer. Watch out, America.
It's the summer of scams and the summer of deals, led by our great president, Donald J. Trump.
Actually, that's what I feel. I feel like the rise in grifting is because our president is a fucking scam artist. So people
we've
are
been
like
emboldened.
Get out your claws.
I think it's just more of a case like people need a good role model, you know?
Okay, wait. So this leads into something I wanted to talk about. This is a new segment on Ballin' Out Good Times called Jeremy's Reading Club. I don't know.
Jeremy's Reading Club.
Maybe we'll call it Time Sync with Jeremy Hammond. I don't know. The point is that it's dumb shit I find online that I want to share with you guys. Started trying to like dig into the internet a little bit more and find more of these sort of right-wing pockets of the internet talking about Dragon Ball. And I found on the forum incels.me,
great,
which is apparently the home of incels now.
That's Maine's
the
website.
Home of incels.
Well, it used to be on Reddit, and then they got banned from Reddit, and they all moved over to incels.me. So this is from user Mainlander, whose subtitle is Ugly Lives Matter.
Okay.
Woo!
Where's this going?
Okay.
Strap in.
Post title. DBZ is black-pilled as fuck.
Woo!
Woo!
Content of post. Genetics are everything, and it was over from the start if you weren't born in the right conditions. Humans are incels. Saiyans are chads.
That's true. Ugly lives matter.
Goku shows us, effort matters, but only if you are above a certain genetic threshold to begin with. Lower class Saiyan, still better than human.
Where is this going?
Yeah, also, like...
This doesn't seem compatible with the rest of this person's life somewhere.
Yeah, also, if you're into eugenics, wouldn't you want them in your favor?
That's why it's weird, is it's like, I'm ready for the culling, daddy.
Well, this is their whole thing, right? Is that they believe that there's like this class of chads, and those are like the big buff,
right,
like dudes who get to fuck, and then everybody else is an incel, but they just don't know it yet.
I understand. That's
so,
it's so
funny.
Hard for me looking around at all the other people not fucking yet.
Incels are so funny to me, because it's like, it's so easy to fuck you guys.
It's so easy.
It's really easy.
It's real easy.
Have you ever met people who, like, go to Ren fairs? They're all doing BDSM.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, put it.
I think American Pie has done too much damage to this culture.
Okay, so the lesson of Vegeta and Goku is, it doesn't matter if you are the prince of all Saiyans. You'll still get life-mogged to oblivion by a low-class Saiyan if you're a manlet and he's average in height.
A manlet?
Damn.
Okay.
He's average in height, Katie.
I'm not like nuanced in incel slang because I got a life. Can someone like catch
That's
me
fine.
Up here?
Okay, so
you know Hamlet.
Life-mogged means that you are being dominated in life.
Okay.
Because they needed another term for dominated in life.
The word dominated is thrown around a lot in these circles.
And also manlet means short man.
A short man.
Oh.
A short little man like Vegeta. He's shorter than Goku and therefore he is going to be life mogged.
It does say average in height though, which makes you think like this is a very short man writing this. Because Vegeta's a little baby. He's like 5 feet tall.
Bulma shows us that even a high IQ Foid... Which is a femoid or feminoid or female android.
Female android.
Oh, man. They can't...
They
like
to just, like, smush words together in really counterintuitive way.
It's
oh,
just
you mean
so funny.
Femoid?
It's just so funny to me, a whole group of people are like, no one will fuck us because we're ugly, but also we call women weird names.
Yeah, like, it has nothing to do with the fact that we thought femoid was a word.
Yeah.
We definitely deserve it, and we've written a book about that.
Even high IQ Foid is still a shallow, nagging cunt and will still only date good-looking scoundrels.
Wow, I didn't realize Samantha Bee wrote this post.
User IamBored21 adds, balding manlet Krillin has to resort to a sex doll.
Wait, but then Android 18 literally is a femoid. Why even have it? Why even have the word if she doesn't get to be a femoid? Oh, now this is making me mad.
Yeah, okay. This just makes me, like, angry.
We'll have to keep Jeremy's book reading corner short on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it is, like...
One more
time's
thing.
Time's flying,
this
Dare
is
Bear.
One extra thing from user Agent Coper. The show might be black-pilled, but the characters are literally the most blue-pilled idiots I've ever seen. If any of the incels...
They're fighting bots!
What is a black pill? I don't get that reference. I get the blue pill reference.
Yeah, so the red pill and the blue pill, right, is, like... are you cool with women or not?
Right, yeah, I know that one.
The black pill is the third pill that you don't see in the Matrix.
Morpheus takes this pill himself, and he keeps it.
In the incel culture, the black pill is when you realize that you have no hope with women, and nobody does.
It's like Morpheus.
That's,
like
Morpheus.
That's why he has those glasses.
So if any of the incels and betas were black-pilled, they would... instantly collect the Dragon Balls and ask for Chad features. Height, height, better hairline, etc.
No.
But they're too stupid to realize.
Wow. I didn't realize, like, how fucking stupid these guys are. Like, don't they realize that if you just, like, stop being shitty for, like, 10 minutes and, like, be realistic, you can meet anyone?
Yeah.
I found a problem with the text. Krillin never wishes for hair.
He has hair. He shaves his
head. He gets it later, yeah.
Voluntarily.
That's true. Not even canon complaints either. That's what makes me mad.
Oh my God. All right. I'm so mad now. I was excited to talk about this episode. Now I'm just like, because I know about incels and stuff, but I don't read their shit on purpose because I know how hot in the face it makes me. I'm just like, it's just so whiny and lazy. It's just like, I can like try and be a human, or I could just blame it on everyone else. It's just so lazy and like whiny.
Well,
so
they may
whiny.
Make me mad, but I do need them as allies to support my president, Donald J. Trump.
MAGA!
MAGA! That should be how we open the show. Okay, yeah. Let's get into this episode. The title of this episode is Pan Blasts Off. How nice is it? It's just one phrase.
Just one sentence.
Right, guys?
Yeah, that's an underrated angle.
Pretty solid. You know exactly what it's about. It's about Pan going in a ship. And that's what happens. It tells you and then it does it. It's nice.
Yes.
This is going to come up a few times in my episode notes. So I was watching on www9.dragonfuck and they had the dub and it was perfect, but they also had, the subtitles for the direct Japanese translation.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
So it like, they'd say everything normally and then below it, it would have like real rough translations of whatever it would have been.
I have a question for you guys because I watch officially. Did your opening have a little Goku dick in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. We do need to talk about this. How come Goku's dick is like the star of the show ages 8 to 13? And then he like grows up and it's like he doesn't even have one anymore.
Also,
what happened?
Why is he showing his granddaughter his dick?
They're the same age. It's fine.
Things are different over there, Katie. They don't adhere to our Western standards of who can show who their dick.
I know he's
when
a
you're
baby,
a Chad.
But that's her grand. Anyway, get into the episode.
You see, Goku is a Chad. Chads can show.
Okay, so we're going to go straight into the meat of this because it's already immediately very exciting because the show opens and it is Trunks, the CEO of Nepotism.
I have so many thoughts.
Walking down the hall. Oh,
Mr. Gray Trunks, please take me now. Come on down.
He's a powerful businessman.
His glasses and his suit, nobody understands him. I understand you, Trunks.
Women bow at him.
Yeah. It's amazing that, like, I made note of this, that, like, they made business Trunks, and, like, that it opens the same way as we see Gohan open in Dragon Ball Super, but it's so much more successful here solely based on the fact that Trunks is just cool and Gohan sucks. That's all the difference is. They're the same thing.
And he's giving a speech when he's walking through the halls, too. It's like, was that another meeting? They were signing the papers before my pen came out of my protector. Everyone's just like, you're so hot, Trunks.
What a ball-breaking VC.
This is why I support for president Donald Trunks. This episode opens on nothing but squad goals. And he's walking through the hall, and he sits in his office, and he's like, another day of being a fucking boss. And somebody comes up with a pile of books, and he's like, you gotta read these books! And then he flies out the window instead.
I love that, too, because you know how like oppressive like salaryman culture is in Japan? At first, I thought it was implied that the secretary thought he committed suicide.
But no, he's just an aloof Japanese businessman.
Who changed in the sky.
Yes, he got naked in the cloud.
And they didn't show his...
Put that in the intro,
yeah,
huh?
He put his wing in the clouds.
What if the intro of the show is just Trunks fucking in the sky?
Yeah, my man fucked a cloud.
Woo! Oh, yeah, great start to a show. Oh, okay, I had a note here. So when he flies out the window, he says something along the lines of like, "Oh, thank God I got out of that meeting." But the subtitle for it was, "Nothing beats my flying bukujutsu technique." So much better.
That's insane.
Nothing beats it. And so he escapes because he's an incredibly successful businessman who actually doesn't do work because he's too hot.
Nepotism, baby.
I love it. That's how I live my life.
Into that family.
I just looked up on the Tao of DragonBall.com, what is bukujutsu?
Mm-hmm.
It is the key technique to lift one's body in the air and fly.
Of course.
So when he says, "I love my flying bukujutsu technique," he says, "I love my flying technique."
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tao of DragonBall.com.
And on to the hits. What's
and on
next?
To the hits. So then we cut to Goten. Goten is on several 1990s telephones trying to get laid, Blink 182 style.
Oh my God. I love horny teen Goten.
Yeah.
He is trying so hard.
He's forgotten all of his horrible childhood fighting for his life, and now he's just trying to come.
And is this where Chi-Chi and Goku are together, and Goku's like, "I'm not gonna go to space," and she's like, "You have to go to space."
Yes, that was my next note, and that was so funny because Goku literally, that's all he does is go to space and get things and fight people. And for some, just, I guess, like dramatic conflict, they were like, "Goku's tired." And he has a line that's like, "I'm tired because I'm a boy now." And she's like, "No, you really should go to space."
I wrote down, Chi-Chi is already very adjusted to this life.
It's true.
Well, I mean, he always has been a child. Mine, like, she's like, "Well, I've been raising you."
Just think of how good the sex will be 10 years later when he's just a young man again and she is 80 years old. And then, oh man, they shouldn't. There's got to be some fanfic of that somewhere. Send in your fanfic of young GT Goku fucking 80-year-old Videl. Or Chi-Chi. Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Paging Dr. Freud. Okay, I wrote, Gohan looks fucking ridiculous and sucks.
He's unchanged in this parallel universe.
Yeah, they're like, he sucks somehow more in this universe. His hair is like a wall. It's like a weird shape, and he's somehow in like an even more uncomfortable looking sports coat.
Yeah,
it's true. He's made less money in this version of the future. He's very middle class, and Videl is there, and she still has had the life sucked out of her. Because, you know, Pan's cool, so you're like, oh, maybe Videl is still cool. And Videl's just like, "Do your dishes! I'm tired!" But then later, she's a scientist, which is like, were you on track to be a scientist, Videl?
Thank you. I was so confused by both Gohan and her are scientists somehow now. I'm like, what? Weren't you just fighters?
They kept Gohan's whole personality vague enough where it was like, he could be doing anything over there. He's got big boxes. He's holding books. He's going to the big meeting. But then Videl is always like, "I like punching in the streets." And that was her whole thing. So didn't see science coming. But you know what? When you have an opportunity to network with Bulma and the Briefs Corporation, you know, you're not going to pass that up because the money's just there.
Of course.
It's there and it's yours. And then I wrote in all caps, mustache Vegeta.
Oh my God. What the fuck is with Vegeta's hair and mustache in this scenario?
I love it.
I love it. I think it's really great.
It's so severe.
You didn't like it?
Well, okay. I don't know if I like it, but it is very accurate to this era of what I think of dads.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I bet he has some hot pink shrimp swim trunks somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he does. And they say, like, bad man on the ass.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it reminds me how in this time period, all baseball players also had mustaches for some reason.
Yeah, I bet he chews dip now, too.
It's not the mustache, though. It's that he chopped off the tip of his hair into a flat top. But it's like straight up still.
He has a white man flat top.
I'm still thinking about the dip. Do you remember Dip Rebel from YouTube?
Oh, no. I was never allowed
Dip Rebel.
I didn't have the clearance.
It was this southern dude who had no chin or jaw. And it was when Obama outlawed flavored tobacco. And there's this video of him where he's like, I just heard that Obama fucking outlawed flavored dip.
This guy's a dip rebel.
We gotta impeach that motherfucker.
The short-lived YouTube series, Dip Maverick, with John McCain. Is John McCain chewing dip, actively getting cancer? Oh boy. All right, back to Dragon Ball. So Vegeta has some top-notch appearances in this episode. They come a little later, but he is there for a second. You see him on the street and you're like, wow, looks are top notch in this time period.
There is a lot of fashion in this episode and I am here for it.
Yeah, Katie's Corner.
Let's start Katie's Corner. Start the clock.
Let's go. First of all, okay, we got Goten in his 90s scamp outfit with the green t-shirt with the under the giant phone. Here for it. Lots of crop tops. We got a crop top on Pan. We got... what the fuck is her name? Bulla and that fucking, like, I had to look that one up. and her, like, red two-piece. I really like Bulma's mom look. She somehow looks older here than she does in the fucked up future, but whatever. I love her giant glasses and her mom jeans and her t-shirt and her sensible haircut.
She's full mom.
Yes.
And she's retired because Trunks is president of Science Corp.
Yeah. I'm just liking all these casual day glow looks. It's really speaking to me. I feel like we should bring this into the fold. I feel like it's hot right now. Like, I feel like that's what all the kids are wearing. Have you been to Ghetto Goth recently? It's just a bunch of 21-year-olds dressing like me in 1994.
Have you been to Ghetto Goth? Everyone's sagging their pants again. Jankos are on the way back.
Yes, Alex.
Yes.
They go for so much on eBay now, it's insane.
For those who cannot see, I am wearing my Freddy Krueger shirt, which is the exact same pattern Freddy Krueger has, and I go out with it, and people go, look, it's Freddy Krueger. To my face, they say that. So I know a lot about fashion, and I'm delighted we're having this wonderful Katie's Corner.
Everyone's like, why is that Freddy Krueger so loud?
With this Freddy Krueger ass.
You love screaming bitch.
Bitch! I had such a good, you know, this is going to get cut out, but I had such a good joke at Bad News yesterday where it was like nursery rhymes for school shootings. It was like a Dr. Seuss book called, Oh, the Places You'll Die, Bitch. And there was no reaction except one guy in the front going, ugh. Katie got ugh too. It was an all-you-can ugh buffet.
Got ugh. I relish my ugh.
Okay, so now we're into the B plot of the episode, which I loved. Overall, these are like engaging television episodes.
Yeah.
I was very involved.
This is when Goku gets kidnapped and is just having a nice day.
Yeah.
Right. There are kidnappers out trying to extract money out of Bulma by stealing Pan. But,
no, they're trying to steal Bulla.
Oh, Bulla.
Who, for those who are listening at home, that's also Bra, same person. They changed her name completely reasonably.
Okay.
Oh, okay, because that's why I was like, who the fuck is Bulla?
Yeah, and also, why would they be stealing pants? Like, the whole
thing
is...
When they cut to her, I thought it was just Bulma in a slutty outfit. I'm like, she changed very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a different person. I thought they were just like, we miss hot Bulma. Get her in there. The fans won't mind. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. So they want to kidnap Bulma's granddaughter and... or just daughter, right? They go to kidnap Pan because they think it's her, and then Pan flies away because she's a little spunky scamp, and they accidentally kidnap Goku, who is just down for whatever, I guess, and is grabbed by a man with a full beard and is like, take me to the theme park.
Yeah, well, I don't get why these kidnappers were being so nice to Goku. If, like, they thought he was a regular kid, why didn't they just, like, throw him in a van or some shit? They're like... Here's some snacks.
They spaced this out, but, like, let's just talk about it. They take him out for a day on the town.
Yeah. He eats at a fancy restaurant. They go on a roller coaster.
They have a lovely little time, him and those Lupin the Third background characters.
I loved it. I wrote down a quote because they get those great New York accents they had in the first episode because they're criminals. And they're talking about what they're going to do with this kidnapped kid. And the guy goes, "You got the brain of a hamster." And then they...
Because the other guy is Muggsy from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's right. He's like, he's stammering at his boss. "Oh, I don't know which one of the kids goes in the band." And then they get fucking bilked by baby Goku for the rest of the day until he flies away because he's bored. And that's how the plot ends.
Which is pretty accurate to how that probably would have went down.
He's yeah.
And they keep calling people all day, being like, "We have your Goku, we're gonna kill him." And they're like, "Oh, that's fine." And then they hang up. And they do that twice. It's very funny, especially when Vegeta's like, "Yeah, go kill him," or whatever. All right, so that's that plot. Pan is complaining to Hercule at a diner that everyone treats her like a child while drinking a black coffee.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny and cute because I did the same exact thing when I was like,
"Oh, what?" Yeah.
Yeah, I insisted on...
You wear that on your sleeve.
Yeah. I ordered... I would insist on ordering black coffee and make all the adults notice me drinking the black coffee with a straight face.
Getting fucking wired. They're at the diner and Hercule is eating a milkshake, and that's that scene. And Pan is like, "You know what, I think I might sneak onto a rocket ship later." Vegeta has this great scene where he intercepts Trunks in midair and is like, "Look, we can do this the easy way or the fun way, because I want to punch my own son in his fucking face." And then they sharp cut to him dragging Trunks and Goten down a long hallway into a rocket ship, because he's like, "You gotta go into space to do our space labor."
Wait, Vegeta had a very funny line somewhere around here. Wait, I think I wrote it down. Oh yeah, he's like, "Dating is for the weak." When Goten's like, "I gotta meet a girl."
Vegeta is maximum Vegeta in this. He is the Vegeta you want. And so they're setting up the spaceship. Everyone's working on it. This is where you find out Videl is a scientist somehow. Because the system's fucking rigged.
She's super dead behind the eyes, too. When Pan's
so dead.
Like, "Hey, Mom," she's like, "Get out of my way, honey. I'm working." She's like, "Mommy's in the sweet spot between her uppers and downers, so you need to get out of here so I can do my work."
Since the Lexapro, I only work on panels, Pan. Pan is trying to talk to Videl. Videl is like, "Fuck off, I'm working on a panel." They're loading up the ship with warriors. It's supposed to be Goten, Trunks, Gohan, and Goku in a real hangover-style boys trip into space. Goten is, like, on the phone trying to bring his date into space. He's like, "We can reschedule this so the movie is at 7:30, and that way, when I'm back from Uranus, we can go." And he's, like, frantically negotiating. Trunks goes in the ship. Pan is in the ship and is just like hitting buttons until they blast off, immediately incinerating Goten, who is under the jets.
And once again, we are mercifully saved from having to involve Goten in a show.
I don't know. I kind of like horny teen Goten.
I know. I do too.
I wish he was up there all jizzed up.
We could have gotten like a fun teen Gotenks. That could have happened.
Yeah, I really did want teen Gotenks. And also just like it would have been a real good opportunity to learn anything about him except like he's so lonely. The ship blasts off and then no one tries to land it. And that's...
And that's the show.
That's the show. Episode 2. What'd you think, gang? Out of 7 Dragon Balls, Jeremy Hammond.
6 out of 7. I thought it was pretty good. No beams.
No beams, that's right. Katie Rose Leon.
I'll also give it a 6 out of 7. I thought it was just GD delightful.
I'm going to say 5 out of 7. Really good episode. Way more entertaining filler than they had in Super. There's no fighting at all, so I feel like I'm watching Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... my preferred program if there's no fighting in it. But overall, lots of laughs, and that's what we're here for. So two pretty good episodes.
Yeah.
They're way stronger start. And that's that for this one.
Yeah.
So we don't do a mail.
No, I think we just end.
We just end it.
Well, thanks for donating, all you little piss pigs and ballers. That you lay your head in your little beds and sleep well tonight because you gave money to the right place.
That is how every one of these is ending from now on. All right, goodbye.
Bye.
I'm super.